This is Paul Peluso with Officer.com. I'm joined by Rick Ashebrenner, president of the North American Police Workdog Association. How are you doing today, Rick?
I'm doing just fine, Paul. How are you?
Good. There have been several high-profile stories making headlines recently involving police dogs. Stories of canines being killed in the line of duty, the loss of law enforcement officers deal with after the death of a canine, and the grief that the dogs themselves face after their human counterpart is lost in the line of duty. Rick, can you share with us the bond shared between an officer and a canine for officers who haven't handled police dogs?
Well, you know, the bond between an officer and his dog is basically similar to any owner, pet owner, who's had a pet in their life. You know, that bond there is kind of like that unconditional love. I mean, a dog doesn't get paid like, you know, individuals do, and all they want to do is be a part of a pack and belong to that pack, and all they're looking for is that love and trust that they're trying to get from basically their leader. And as a handler, and I handled the dog for 23 years, you know, you carry the dog every day, you go through the training class with the dog, and you work together every day, and then that, you know, becomes a day in and day out. And most officers today keep their dog at home with them, basically as a part of their family, whether you're married, not married, have children or not. You know, that dog stays with you, works with you, and I think that's where that bond builds, and you become so close to that animal because, you know, it's like a part of your family because you spend sometimes as much time with that dog or maybe even more than you do with your own family because not only do you at home with you, you have to ride in that car or on your beat with you all day long. And I think any time you start putting your trust into a dog for you, not only your life, but maybe the life of citizens and or your other officers, you know, that bond becomes very, very strong.
Do you think that sometimes that bond could be, you know, just as strong, if not stronger, than one you have with the human counterpart as a partner? Because like you said, the dog's there with you, you know, 24/7. You wake up with them, go to bed with them.
Right. I mean, you think about it. You might have a partner that works with you, rides with you, or, you know, at least on the same shift with you. But a dog, you know, how many times is people who had dogs of their own, when they come back from work or come back from a trip, and to see that unconditional love of that pet, as soon as you open the door, they see you pulling into the driveway and they're outside, they're barking, they're spinning around, the tail's wagging 100 miles an hour, and it's just like they can't wait to get to you, to see you, just to jump on you, lick you, love you. They want you to pet them. You know, they want that just intertwined between you and them. They just can't wait for all that, you know. And you don't get that. You feel like no matter how bad your day is, that dog can continue to bring your day up because, you know, you might have had a bad day at work or a bad day with the family, but as soon as you see that dog and you see that unconditional love and all he wants to do is put his head on your lap and want you to pet him and want you to play ball with him, and all of a sudden you kind of, you know, forget about that bad day and just think, hey, here's my partner, here's my buddy right here. You know, no matter what happens, he always loves me.
Recently, do you think that the use of canines by police departments has increased at all, or do you think because of budgetary reasons, basically how is the trend of police departments using canine units been recently?
Well, of course, you know, canines as a whole have really grown in great popularity over the last few years. Point because of what they can do, the ability the dog can do, not only make it safer for the officers and a lot quicker, to search things faster and more efficiently. But on the other end of that is, you know, we've all seen what budget crunches can do to the economy, you know, not whether it's military, whether it's municipalities, but when the budgets start getting crunched, they start losing money, of course, something's got to normally give, and then unfortunately, even though the dogs can do a lot of things that officers can't, there's other things they can't do that officers can, so sometimes the departments have to make a very tough decision on who's going to be cut, whether it's going to be dogs from a program or officers themselves. So I have seen and heard that there has been some agencies who have cut back or haven't replaced a dog that they've been injured or retired due to age. You know, they're just not replacing it. So I think right now, you know, they're definitely still a tool that's very valuable and utilized every day across the country. But because of some budgetary restraints, you know, I know some of them have not been replaced, and some units aren't growing maybe as quickly as the canine commanders would like to see them.
Okay, and have you seen any other, I guess, trends in policing as far as canines go? You know, things that have that you think have changed lately or will change?
Well, you know, one thing you have seen a lot of in the last few years is using more and more tactics with dog units. You know, doing a lot more off leash stuff with dogs where, you know, you're getting a little standoff there between maybe a suspect or a search or something, where there's some distance there for the officer's safety. I think you're seeing that, and I think you're seeing a lot more the tactical movement, a lot more equipment where the dog and the handler can intertwine with each other through headphones and cameras and all that. A lot of that's for safety reasons, you know, so you don't have to be right on top of the dog right at the end of that 6-foot leash. You can put a little distance in between. So I think you're seeing the tactical edge and the equipment to be able to utilize that, you know, GPS tracking units where you can track the dog, know where he's at, see what direction he's at. You know, he might not be right in front of you, so if you're out doing tactical stuff at night, still keep up with your dog, you know, with microphones, transmitters where you can talk back and forth to him, give him tones, and doing a lot more stuff like that. So that's a trend I've seen a lot. A lot more tactics, a lot more off-leash capabilities.
Okay, and if you could tell us a little bit more about your guys' organization and what basically how you guys, you know, help provide a resource and support for your canine handlers.
Well, North American Police Work Dog Association, which is termed NACWADA, has been around since 1977. And our main goal is, and our mission is basically to assist police and law enforcement and all working dogs around the world. And we just want to make sure that every team out there has the ability to be able to be certified to a standard that's recognized throughout the country and the court, and they're getting the most up-to-date and the latest training technology and techniques that are out there. So we strive to make sure we have the best trainers and master trainers that, you know, that are in the world, and that they're passing this information on to all the new young handlers that are upcoming. So that will, you know, allow them the ability to be a lot safer, to be able to work with dogs a lot more efficiency. So, you know, that in itself is a big help to the department. So if they're more efficient and they can do it a lot safer, you know, that saves lives and saves time.
Great. And last question, are there any suggestions you would give to departments that are looking to start up a canine unit that may not have one currently?
Well, one of the major issues is there's a lot more to just starting a unit than going down to your local shelter and picking up a dog and putting him in the hands of a trainer, you know. You have to look at the quality of the dog, and the quality of the dog is like anything, you know. It's like buying a car, a used car to a new car, from a Volkswagen to a Lamborghini, you know. There's so much difference in the dog. So, you know, if they're looking to start up a unit, you know, make sure that you find a reputable vendor who is selling dogs, and make sure you get some feedback from them, and, you know, maybe say, hey, give me some people who have used you. Give me some references so I can call and talk to them. And make sure you ask them the right questions, you know, where are they getting their dog, how they're making sure their health's there. And there's the other things, is, you know, well, who are you going to train with? Who's going to give this handler this training? Who are you going to go through for your schooling? And who are you going to certify to? Whether you belong to NACWADA or another national organization, but make sure you certify that dog team with a reputable national organization that's recognized by the courts. Because when you go to court over something, you want to make sure you have that in your hand that, hey, we do certify to the standards set forth by the North American Police Work Dog Association. They're recognized in court. So, you know, looking at that, and there's a lot of other things, you know, there's equipment. How much equipment do I need? How do I need to replace it? You know, how am I going to get the narcotics to train my detection dog with? How am I going to get my explosives if I got an explosive dog or my cadaver dog? You know, where are you going to get this? How are you going to replace it? Where's the money coming from? Who's going to do the vet care for you? Where's the dog going to be housed out every day when the officer's off duty? You know, who's going to keep him when he's on vacation? you know, a lot of people don't think of that, and then they get the dog, and all of a sudden they realize their investment in the dog in a school is quadrupled into a lot more than they thought, but they never thought about everything else, you know, quality dog food, who you want to get your dog food through, how much is it going to take to feed this dog in a year, or 5 years, or 7 years of his career, compensating the officer himself for all the extra hours that he has to do with this dog, you know, grooming the dog, keeping the dog at home, training the dog, taking the dog to the vet. He's got to be compensated for all that. You can't just expect to do it for free. So, you know, that's things you have to look at if you're trying to start up a unit. And, you know, there's plenty of people out there that can assist an agency in answering those questions. And a lot of it, you call one of the master trainers that are listed in that one and ask them. They can give a lot of guidance and, you know, the do's and don'ts. And I think, you know, by doing that and they get all their answers up front before they jump into it, because, of course, the dog is a fantastic tool, but if you don't train him properly and you do lack of training and you don't have the proper food or you don't get the proper dog, you know, it's like anything else, then all of a sudden that tool is not as good as it once was.
Great. Well, thank you for joining us today, Rick, and we hope we can catch up with you soon.
Well, I appreciate it, Paul, and if y'all need anything else, don't hesitate to call.
Okay, thank you.